بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن بطش ربك لشديد، إنه هو يبدئ ويعيد، وهو الغفور الودود ذو العرش المجيد، فعال لما يريد. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله. With the help and mercy and love and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are talking about primarily for the past few weeks the signs prior to the coming of the end of time. And as I've mentioned before, these signs are not to bring forth the idea that the end of time will be tomorrow, but there is a certain thing that takes place before the end of time. They start escalating. And as we see more and more of this, it should make us realize that we are getting closer, A, to the end of our lives, closer to the end of our given time, and also from a larger picture, all the prophecies that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made regarding the end of time are undoubtedly true in nature. Now, we live in a society in which there is a lot of this idea that we're going to live forever and ever. That's the way basically we are. And the Quran makes mention of this. And there is a beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that brings forth the following, where it says, لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَا عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يُسْأَلُ عَنْ أُمُرٍ, that an individual on the day of judgment will not be allowed to move even an iota, even a small spot, even from one point to the next, until that individual has given accountability regarding their life. This is a very important point, because we are called upon to give accountability regarding our classwork, if you are a student, regarding your employment, if you have a job, regarding our relationship, especially if something comes up. Accountability is something we all are brought forward towards. Tax time will be coming very soon. And again, there's an accountability factor that takes place. And hopefully through the tax system, you are able to recognize your previous year's expenses and development and losses compared to this year. So it's part of life to give accountability. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, O insan, understand full well that at the end of time, especially the day of Qiyamah, when we all are resurrected, you know, they say sleep is a type of death. And you are very vulnerable when you go to sleep. You never know what can happen and not happen. Lord forbid, there was a case where an individual was running low on resources and he was burning coal in his house. He got hold of some coal and he was burning it. And the fumes of that got to the family, and there are members in his family that died. So when you give yourself to sleep, you are becoming very, very vulnerable. And sleep is actually a reminder of death, that once I'm gone, I'm gone. I'm totally now in the hands of my Allah. And the only thing that can help you in death is the a'mal and the beautiful things we have left behind. So Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that an individual will not be able to move even a little bit until he or she has given accountability of the existence. Now, many of you are smarter than myself. Let's say the average individual lives 80 years. First 20 years of your life pretty much is going in what? Learning on how to take care of yourself, getting a basic job, becoming responsible. We will say, based on the educational system, first 25 years of your life are pretty much in making you hopefully become the best human that you can become. And in that first 25 years, there are distractions. Distraction will be, why did the teacher tell this to my child? Why did my child do this and not do that? I wish my child had... So out of the 25 years, pretty much of it we can say will go to waste. If you are lucky, 5 years of that will be used in the best manner possible. So now you have 60 years left or 55 years left. Out of that 55 years, undoubtedly, half of it goes to sleep, socializing, texting, unwanted text that is, emailing, unwanted things that is, going to websites that are just not going to advance your given position. So again, half your life in that is gone. So out of that 55 years, roughly you have, let's say, 27 years that now you can bring value to yourself and those around you. And out of that 27 years, you know exactly what, just think, your yesterday versus today, your whole last week to this week. Again, you are lucky if out of that 27 years, 13 years can be used in a manner of maximum productivity. It's those 13 to 15 years when you die, people are going to say, that man and that woman was awesome. That man and that woman made a contribution to the Islamic society. That man, that woman made a contribution to their given community. This man and this woman, they left legendary children, children that are awesome, children that can be productive in the workforce, children that can be productive in Islam, children that can be productive in as far as maintaining their dignity regarding their family life, their social life, their economic life. Now you understand why when most of us will go, people will say, MashaAllah, he was a good man, good woman, and that's it, they are gone, you gone. This is the reality. And yet we all know of people that when they died, people cried and they said, that man over there, this is the institution he or she built. When I say he or she, I'm not saying the word she for political correctness. Look at Islamic history. In Baghdad, there are women that use their inheritance to build institutions. There are women that left behind money to build schools. There are women that left behind money wherein it was the investment that will come out that can help young women get married, women that lost a mother and father. So it's not just a male thing. It's not just a male thing. It's not just a certain community thing. Muslims in the past used to do this. That is why in Islam, part of our deen, 33% of your inheritance can go towards a worthy cause, be it a masjid, be it a Islamic school, be it an Islamic school that is doing both Islam and secular teaching, be it for the orphans, be it for the widows. This is the way Islam. How many of us do that? I mean, nowadays when a guy passes away, we sort of are wondering, who's going to pay for the burial? That's what we're wondering. We don't even want to leave money for our own death. This is the condition we are in. So, these are the things we are going to be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. And the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, to repeat, لا تزول قدما, your feet will not be able to move حتى يسأل عن عمره, until the individual is given accountability regarding their given life. Thereafter, they'll be also called to give accountability how they lived on a day-to-day basis. That's why the hadith of the Khalif makes very beautiful note, no 2 days will ever go by until we have written out a will. How many of us have wills? I know, may Allah give Brother Ghulam tremendous amount of reward. And those of you that are interested in wills, I know once he volunteered, I think that volunteer still applies, that if anybody wants a recommendation, now don't go to him and say, please, Brother Ghulam, put my name on your will. No. But of course, if you did it, alhamdulillah, maybe out of 33%, he can leave you a dollar or two out of respect and love for you because you've asked him, because it's a halal request, that's not a problem. Personally, if I had but if you ask me, maybe I'll leave a dollar just out of humor for you as well. But nowadays, people will be offended by that. He left for me a dollar. It cost me more to go and get that dollar. But you get what I'm saying. The point I'm trying to make here, my brothers, is do we have our wills ready? That amount of money. I just spoke to a brother a few days ago. You know, many of us write on the day of getting married. Alhamdulillah, our vice president got married, and I hope he didn't make this mistake. But when they get married, they write down a big mahar, $100,000. So you ask, but why did you write down $100,000, my brother? Because, you know, my friends must know I'm the big guy in the area. So he writes down $100,000. And you ask the woman, why did you make him write $100,000? I have respect and dignity. What do you think I am? You know who I am. You know my family. So they write down these huge amounts. And the woman knows she doesn't want it. The man knows he's never going to get it. But understand one thing on a serious point, my brothers. You're trying to impress people with writing down. Like, and certain cultures, by the way, are known for this. Because when they write this down, it gives them more respect in the eyes of others around. But we are forgetting a very important thing. That as a man, if you don't give that, let's say, for example, I pass away and I'm worth, let's just say, $250,000, right? And I wrote down $200,000 on that mahar. The day that I die, the first person that has right is who? Those that I owe money to. Because it's a debt. Now, can you imagine if I didn't have that money when I pass away? That means I go to the grave in shackles. It comes in the hadith. Until that debt is not paid off. Let's say I had a son. And my son says, Daddy, you owed it. You're gone. I'm not going to pay mummy for you. That's it. That is why children now have a responsibility. That they must say, who does my dad and mom owe money to? And they must try to fulfill that debt. And if they don't fulfill that debt, then there is a problem. So don't look into writing all these fancy major amounts to impress people. Be honest. And it's hard to be honest. It's very hard to be honest. And this is something that we have to do. It's better we be honest now, because when we go in the grave, it comes in a hadith that you will be tied up in shackles till the day of Qiyamah. So let's go home and renegotiate and discuss with our wives and start making those payments, my brothers. Because if we didn't make those payments, we are going to be, unfortunately, very much hurt. The hadith continues by talking about Qiyamah and وَأَنْ عِلْمِهِ فِيمَا فَعَلَ بِهِ, that Allah says, I gave you knowledge. You had knowledge. You pursued knowledge. You went to college. You went to university. You listened to all these various things out there. By the way, before I continue about the grave and being tied up, Imam Malik in his Muwatta makes mention, there'll be another group of people that will be wrapped up with a snake in the grave. Why will they be wrapped up? Because Allah gave them money and they did not want to give the zakah. So one is our wives that we're not fulfilling our obligation towards. The other is the poor people in the community. They have a right over you once you have over the amount of nisab. Not you have a right over them. When you have money, now they have a right over you. And you have to look for that poor individual. Just like you look for that bargain sale. You look for that great price on the car, great price on the home, great price in all these things that you want. At the same time, you have to now look for that. That's why with money comes the responsibility. With education, the hadith is saying now, with your education, there comes a responsibility. That's why the hadith says, one of the people that they punish on the day of Qiyamah is kitman ilm, the person that concealed the knowledge. So Allah gives you, whether it's medical knowledge, legal knowledge, engineering, you name it. Don't conceal it. Make it be used for a benefit of humanity, to inspire humanity. Because the hadith says, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask you, what did you do with your knowledge? Was it just to impress individuals and say, mashallah, I went and I graduated? Why did you graduate? Why did you become what you have become? And right now, you look at all these various groups, business groups, academic groups, engineering groups, you name it. Every occupation now, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, there used to be this idea, I can't share my knowledge with you. Because if I share my knowledge with you, then you'll become smarter than me. We've learned as we are developing this open source thing that is taking place where it's okay to share your knowledge with others. Because when you share your knowledge, medical communities are now doing it extensively. Our business communities are doing it greatly since the late 1980s, and there are many articles on this, because we have learned something through sharing knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us not only more knowledge, but more creativity. And that's not the way we are. We are sort of, no, it's my section of community. It's my this and my that. You know, just to step aside a little bit from the conversation, you've heard of the bullet train. How was the bullet train ever created? How was it invented? And I want you to reflect upon this. You know, as you know, Japan went through, I mean, you know what happened, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, they were put back way back. No different from how many Muslim countries are now put way back. But it's never the end of the world. So in order to catch up with the rest of the world, the leaders of Japan decided we have to make something that is very, very fast. So if a journey takes like 12 hours or 15 hours, we got to make this journey in 5 hours or 3 hours. So he gave them the assignment and they came back and said, I'm sorry, but the fastest train we can make is 35 miles or 45 miles. No, go back. Fastest train we can make is 55 miles. No, go back. The fastest train we can make is 75 miles. No, go back. And as he would send them back, he said, why don't all of you get together? You come with your company, you come with your company. Each one came with their own ideas. And guess what? Japan produced the fastest train in the world, known as the bullet train. For example, part of the discussion was, well, you know, how can we make it so fast? Because of centrifugal force, if the train takes a turn, then it'll capsize. You know what the leader said? Then why make a turn? Make it straight. How can you make it straight? He says, go under the ground. How can you go under the ground? It'll cost us billions. It'll cost us more money. The amount of money we spend on constructing our nation, that's what it'll cost us to make it under the ground. Go ahead and do it. That's what he said. Go ahead and do it. And my point I'm trying to make here is, this is how we make contributions to life, to society. We have to get together. We have to share ideas together. And we have to do it on a family level. Stop this idea of, well, you know, my brother's child thinks he's very smart, and if I'm good to him, he'll become this, and my children are going to get left out. In the end, your child is going to get left out, and that child is going to get left out as well. So let's stop this idea of, it's all for me, and only myself and my people. Let's think long term. Again, coming back to this hadith, you're going to be asked about your life. You're going to ask about your knowledge. You're going to be asked about what you did with your knowledge. You're going to ask about how you shared your knowledge. You're going to ask about how you communicated this knowledge. You're also going to be asked how you practice upon this given knowledge. وَعَنْ مَالِهِ And regarding, of course, thereof, hadith says, and as far as our wealth is concerned, not only how we spent it, but how we earned it. I'm always impressed with our Muslim businessmen. Brother, this item, I'm only making 5% on it. Amazing, huh? I'm only making, what are you, Santa Claus? I mean, let's get to reality. I'm only making 5%. Every Muslim businessman you go to, everyone, I'm only making 5%. I'm giving you 10% below cost. SubhanAllah. You're giving everybody 10% below cost. How are you affording that beautiful, mashallah, car and house and everything? In other words, if you don't want to give a discount, don't give a discount, but don't lie about it. Because our religion clearly says, if you lied about it, you know, and that person has proof that you lied about it, according to our religion, he can actually sort of sue you. In other words, come and make a claim on you later. And understand, my brothers, they may not make the claim in this world, but in the hereafter, unfortunately, you will be having that outstanding debt upon that given individual. So not only about earning, but let's worry about how we're going to spend and how we're going to dispose of it. And of course, Rasulullah continues in his given hadith, wa an jismi, that means regarding also our given bodies, what did we do with it? My brothers and sisters, you know, not to get into the details because now we're running out of time. I meet boys, girls that are 25, 30 years old. Imam, I got no desire for my spouse anymore. You know, it makes me sad because they just got married, they are together. You know, you see that wonderful nikah and you get so happy. Nowadays, I don't even have any emotions towards nikahs. I just go and I walk in and out. Because of what I'm going to share with you right now, the man from the age of 13 and 15 is doing haram things, looking at haram things. You know, the research of pornography says, when you look at that pornography, it is as if you are the brain is wired such a way, without going into the neuro aspect of it, it is as if you are taking part in that given act itself. Now, can you imagine people that are addicted to this? You are doing it from the age of 12, 13, 15. By the time you're 25, you may say you never were married. You may say you never had a relationship. But trust me, what that will do to your brain and the stimulation it creates, that 10 years you watch that garbage, it's like as if you watched it for 20 and 25 years. Therefore, by the time you are 30 years old and you're getting married, it's like, you know, I'm done with married life. That's how it comes. And it hurts you. I'm not saying this to talk about something perverted. I'm talking from the bottom of my heart. It hurts you and hurts that innocent girl. And that girl is hurting another innocent guy because of what she saw. Now you are together. You are supposed to be living a healthy, happy, lovely life. And what you say, I'm tired. I don't feel for this. You know, tomorrow I got to go do this. Tomorrow I got, you know, you don't got to do nothing. Excuse my bad language there, English, but you get what I'm saying. So therefore, my brothers, the hadith is taught. It's like as if this hadith is talking to us. 1400-year-old hadith. It's like as if it's giving us information right now. So concern yourself with your bodies. Use it the proper way. And if you have caught up in these things, find a way, find the appropriate way to break away from these adverse things that you are part of. Now, my brothers,